This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu. Wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bih. Wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وله الحكم وله الامر يحيي ويميت وهو حي دائم لا يموت وهو على كل شيء قدير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن ولا وبعد فإن الأصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أيها الإخوة الكرام وأخوات السيدات السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال عز وجل أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون وقال عز وجل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون Dear brothers and sisters, we want to make the best observation we can in the shortest way. We want to treat the sickness of the Ummah in the way we can here, in our part of the Ummah, where we are, where we hold some responsibility. And this is not a very sophisticated matter. It is not something left up to the ulama and the fuqaha and the people well established in knowledge or those with high taqwa. It is something the generality of us we can address. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the statement to us that it is He who sent His messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the huda, guidance of Quran and Sunnah. وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ The system of truth, al-Islam. In order that it may, Quran and Sunnah and Deen al-Haq, Islam, that it may prevail, become dominant and ruling over every other system which may exist. And in the Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. There is a hadith, a short one, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made the eastern and western parts of the earth draw near for me in order for me to see it. And He says, by Allah, the rule of my ummah shall reach as far as I saw. In the hadith recorded by Imam Ahmed, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name was Tamim Ad-Dari radiallahu anhu. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, this matter of ours, meaning al-Islam, will keep spreading as far as the night and day reaches, until Allah will not leave any house made of mud or camel's hair, but will make this religion enter it by bringing might and honor to the Muslims and bringing humiliation and disgrace for those who reject. Subhanallah. How the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described how this deen would evolve, and it did exactly what he said. But in some other ahadith, he mentioned to the companions, his companions, how even after that the deen would recede and the condition of the Muslims would deteriorate exactly what it is today. But it would also come back again, because this is the manner of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause it to go up and back and up and back as He so pleases until the day of judgment it will come. So we are living in that time in which Islam has receded. Although the numbers of the Muslims have expanded, and the places where Muslims are is every single place in the earth, but their iman has receded and their presence and their dignity has receded. It is because the Muslims themselves, both the leaders and the followers, have lost their conviction and their commitment to the izzah, the power and the potential for Islam to rule. The Muslims today, they are no longer convinced that the place of Islam is a ruling place. They are no longer convinced, both the leaders and the followers, as we are. We are not convinced that we have the capability to rise up into a position where Islam will become dominant. We have lost that conviction. Today, both the Muslim leaders and those who follow their subjects, most of those who claim to know, scholars, students of knowledge, with the titles, even they no longer have the conviction. Just they are reciting, just they are praying, being satisfied like birds what is put inside their mouths by the kuffar. They are satisfied with what has been designated to them by the non-Muslim rulers, designated to them by the non-Muslim governments, designated to them by the non-Muslim teachers, scientists, industrialists who live around them and give them favors and allow them to practice their Islam, not to establish their Islam. Both the leaders and the followers, those who know and those who are ignorant, have become complacent with that arrangement. But that is not the arrangement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for Islam. That is his arrangement for the Muslims who have become complacent, that to live under the foot of the kuffar, so Allah punishes us by the kuffar. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he may bring izzah to this deen, even by the wicked acts of a fajr. You see, how maybe it is that through the punishment of some wicked person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wake up the Muslims. And by waking them up and punishing them, they will restore the dignity of Islam for themselves and for the Muslim world. The Muslims today are satisfied to have the products, the culture, the social and political standards that are delivered to them at the price of exploitation and corruption. Muslims today will argue and boycott one another. Muslims here, Muslims there, Muslims in this country and every other Muslim country. Muslims will boycott each other, hate each other, argue with one another for years about the beard, whether we should raise or lower our hands in the salah, about the pants above the ankle, about the hijab or the niqab, about halal meat. They will argue with each other about these things. But if one of them has a heart attack, you see, we will rush him to the hospital to have his head, his heart, his chest cut open by a kafir. And he has no problem about that. And when our children are born, we have no problem to rush our wives to the hospital to have some kafir to put his hand all the way up inside of our wife and deliver our children. And if we have some aneurysm or problem in our brain, we don't mind to rush to the hospital to have our heads cut open by some kafir. Why? Because important issues like this, we leave it for the kafirs. But small issues about the beard and the pants and all of that, we argue with each other and we don't speak for years. It's our condition. We have abandoned the jihad and the mujahid. We don't even want to talk about jihad. And the mujahid is being called a terrorist, an extremist, a fanatic, a murderer, a filthy person, a heretic, a this or that, and we say nothing. Just we want to stay clear of it. We want to stay clear of them. So we have abandoned both where the jihad is done and the mujahid who is doing jihad. And Allah, He knows best. Who is doing jihad? Wallahi, some people who is doing jihad today, they are so confused and so angry that they have flipped the jihad, so they're killing more Muslims than they're killing kafirs. Because this is where anger and frustration leads us. This is because many of the mujahideen, they are angry. And they are justifiably angry, but they are not being led by the ulama and the fuqaha. Because the ulama and the fuqaha, they can't fight no jihad because even they can't run down the road. They don't want to go far from their houses, and they don't want to go far from the masjids where they stand, because that's their comfort zone, their house and their masjid, or the place where they give their khutbah. But they are not strapping on their weapons. They're not strapping on and fixing their cars or their vehicles and moving out to the places to defend the frontiers of Islam. No, not the ulama and the fuqaha. They must be inside the masjid and the madrasas. They cannot go far from their families. This is why we see the confusion among the young who want to make jihad, but they have no guidance. Well, Muslims, we have given up the science, the industry, matters of government, medicine, and social issues entirely to the non-Muslims. Look inside your houses. Look inside the restaurants, the stores. Look in your country and select 100 products arbitrarily. 100 products and services, and I'll tell you. Out of 100 products and services, only 5 come from Muslims, and usually it's food. Everything else, whether in Saudi Arabia or Syria or Egypt or Jordan or every country I have been in, all the science and industry is in the hands of the kuffar. And yet, the people keep on giving more fatwas and more fatwas and more fatwas and more fatwas and more fatwas. We have given up our countries, we have given up our society, we have given up our children. O Muslims, what can we do? Listen what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about us. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Do you not see the people who themselves give a lie to the religion? They falsify the religion? They are perpetrating a lie on the religion? فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدْعُ الْيَتِيمِ. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Who are they? يَدْعُ الْيَتِيمِ. The orphan, they don't care about them. We're not talking about the orphan that's in your family. Of course, the orphan from your family, you will take care of him. But what about all the other orphans? What about the orphans that are a different color? What about the orphans that's of a different race? What about the orphans of a different religion? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about yatim, he's not talking about just a Muslim orphan, or the orphan inside your family, or the orphan inside your village, or the orphan inside your society, but all the orphans who themselves are the children of oppression. Who are the Muslims doing? What about Darfur? I hear Muslims talking about Afghanistan, Muslims talking about Pakistan, Muslims talking about Kashmir, Muslims talking about Iraq, Muslims talking about Jerusalem. But Muslims, what about Darfur? You probably don't even know what is Darfur. 85,000 people are dying every month in Darfur. SubhanAllah. But because they're dark, dirty Africans, who should care about some dark, dirty Africans? Nobody. These are the yatim also. If you don't know, go check it, because Allah will hold you responsible for them. If you are denying them, you are denying the ayah fits. وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. And you hold back the food which belong to the masakeen. You don't feed the poor. You won't go outside of your neighborhood. You will feed something who will come to the mosque, but you won't go outside. You hold back. And verily the poor people in this country, they share in your wealth. They share in your comfort. And if you don't give to them on the day of judgment, Allah, he will give, because he is the distributor. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. So curse be upon those who pray, those who perform lots of ibadah. You see? عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Empty. They're unmindful. They're praying, they're doing ibadah, they're fasting, they're reading Quran, they're making dhikr, they're doing this and that, but they are unmindful even while they're doing it. Thinking about something else. They're not even concentrating on what it means. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يَرَاؤُونَ. They're people of riya, just doing it so that people can confirm they are Muslims, to be seen. Whole lots of raka'ah, lots of Quran, lots of dua in front of the people, but none at night, none among their family. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. Another characteristic, that they don't give neighborly needs. They don't supply neighborly needs. They don't go to their Hindu neighbor. They don't go to their Christian neighbor. They don't go to their neighbors and share with the neighbor and find out what his or her condition is. But they hold it back and they say, oh, those dirty Hindus. Oh, those misguided Christians. But those are your neighbors. Oh, Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we reflect upon the medicine, that we take the medicine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he remove the nifaq from us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he raise us, the condition that we have inside ourselves, for our families, for our society, for the Muslim world. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن والاه وبعد. What can we do? The question is, what can we do? One, we can do tazkiyat al-nafs. We can purify ourselves. Reflect, think. O Muslims, think. Straighten out yourself, check yourself out. Look at your worship. Who are you worshiping? Look at your knowledge. How authentic is it? What is the quality of your worship? Not the quantity. What about your habits? Can you get rid of some of those habits that you have? You know, habits that are unnecessary. Can you get rid of some of them and take that money from that habit and spend it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Reform ourselves. Especially aim our reformation at our young people. Fathers, take a good look at your children, because that's what you're sending forth for tomorrow. And if your children are disobeying you and they have chosen another path, they don't want to pray, they don't want to fast, they don't want Quran, they're singing nasheeds and they're dancing songs and music and some of them using drugs and hanging out with kafirs and involved in violence and they're just disrespecting you and they don't want to get up for fajr, whatever, look at yourself! Because usually the fruit don't fall too far from the tree. We need to establish an Islamic home, which means we need to empower our women. Yes, I know that women should be Islamically, according to the Shara'i situation. They should be in the masjid, in the back. But that has nothing to do with the issue of the society. You have confused it. We have confused it. We think that because the Muslim woman is supposed to pray in the back, we think that in the society, that is their general position. It is not. The home is not in the back. The home is in the front. It is mothers who rock the cradle of prophets. It is women who raised up the scholars, the mujtahideen, the awliya. It is women. And it is the same women that is in the back. But you must empower them. Not empower them to give khutbah or to lead the prayer. This is not what we're talking about. Empower them to be balanced, to struggle along with us to establish this deen. Empower them. Because where you find ignorant women that are neglected, you're going to find frustrated, ignorant, and deviant children. But where you find women that have knowledge of deen, they are empowered and they have good self-esteem, they will produce the leaders that this ummah needs. We need to instruct and serve our society. Serve the society. Don't just hand out pamphlets. How dare you to hand people out pamphlets telling them they should become a Muslim? Why? What example is there? If you don't smell good, and you don't look good, and you don't taste good, why should somebody accept something from us? No. Reform ourselves. Serve the society. Offer them something. Give them something. Teach them. Don't just preach to them. Be involved with them in what is good. وَتَعَابَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَابَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. We stay away from the ithm and the udwan, but whatever is good is good for them and us. And we cannot leave the society and say we have nothing to do with them except to give them pamphlets and booklets. We need to liberate the lands of the Muslims. At least make dua. What? George Bush doesn't allow me to make dua for Palestine, for Iraq, for Afghanistan, for Kashmir, for Darfur? No, I make dua not only for them, but I make dua for the end of his rule. What it matters, jail is just like a prelude to the grave. All of us will go there. The rulers and the foolers. We have to make dua to liberate the land of the Muslims. We have to reform and purify Muslim government, wherever it is. Those who are in a position of power, influence over the Muslims, we have to advise him to purify himself, to make tazkiya. We don't rebel, we don't criticize, we don't defame, but we advise. We have to. We cannot leave it as it is. O Muslims, we must remove the racial and cultural prejudice and innovation among the Muslims. And Muslims, I want to say this to you. I am a new Muslim. I don't have much knowledge. Maybe I don't, you know, you might be asking yourself, what am I doing standing up here talking to you? I think the same thing myself. But I tell you what I see. The major problem of the Muslims today is inside of them, not outside. And what is it? It's two things. Racial and cultural prejudice that they practice among themselves every day. The second thing is gross innovation when it comes to the Quran and the Sunnah. You figure it out for yourself. If you say, that's not me, okay, it's not you. Be in denial. Be in denial. The disease will only increase as long as you are in denial. But if it applies to all of us, purge yourself of this filth, this racial and cultural prejudice, and this filthy innovation and heresy that the people brought as cultural baggage from wherever they came from. Rebuild the consciousness of brotherhood and cooperation among Muslims. Brotherhood, eat together, speak together, talk together, sit together, do business together, live together, work together. Build your communities not based upon just ideology and race, but only upon brotherhood. Launch dignified and methodical da'wah. Dignified da'wah. Methodical da'wah. That means it's planned. It's dignified with high station so people can respect our da'wah. Build Islamic communities, real communities where there is real leadership. And after that, advise, push, press your leader to make coalition with the other leaders. Because if they don't, your community is going nowhere. And you're going nowhere. And finally, we need to empower our women to be involved in the community. Empower them. There is a place for them. Make the place for them. And I say to you, brothers, if you give your women the empowerment and a place where they feel self-esteem, they will beautify the mosque. They will bring light to the mosque. They will bring the children to the mosque. They will bring another energy to the masjid, to the school, to your activities. And they will also illuminate your homes. And they will bring something to the Islamic struggle that we men are unable to bring. Such were the Sahabiyat, radiallahu anhunna. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause all of us to be mindful of these things, both the speaker and the listeners. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause all of us to take our daily medicine and nasiha from the Quran and the Sunnah. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَّنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَاتِ حَسَّنَةً وَقِينَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا. ربنا إننا آمنا فاغفرنا ذنوبنا وقينا عذاب النار. ربنا آمنا فاغفرنا وارحمنا وأنت خير الراحمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. يا الله غفور رحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين أرحمنا. عباد الله، إن الله يعمل بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وذكر الله تعالى وأعلى وأولى وأعز وجل وأتم وأحم وأكبر وأقم الصلاة.